Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, back in Starkville after a quick trip down to Hattiesburg. And you know, I am a South Mississippian, really by raising, right? Born in Canton, Mississippi, but grew up down south in Columbia, and I got a lot of good friends down in the Berg. And I had a chance to go down there and break bread with some friends, some people you might know. It was a great time. It always is. Kind of the last big getaway, you know, before football season. And here we are now, you know, really the final week of camp. Because next week we're going to transition into Eastern Kentucky prep. So only a couple of media availabilities this week. And then we'll kind of get into a routine next week. So no media availability on Sunday. No media availability today. Worked out really well for us, you know, because of the fact that we'd had to hustle back, you know. I ate at Crescent City Grill last night in Hattiesburg. Man, I love the Robert St. John restaurants down there on Hardy Street. Had breakfast at Midtowner today. And the new chef there, Neville Barr, incredible. Incredible meal. So when you're down in that part of the country, let me encourage you to go by and enjoy, kind of tying on the feed bags down there on Hardy Street. Absolutely love that place. I've told people before, if they find out I got 24 hours to live, let me go down there and visit with Robert for a little while and maybe have some gumbo. You know, great time for sure. And we'll talk a little bit about what Jeff Levy had to say on Saturday. But, the bottom line is this, is that here we are. There's not really a lot more to talk about. You know, get into next week. We'll find out from the players kind of what they expect from Eastern Kentucky, how eager they are to hear the cowbells. If you have not purchased your tickets, let me encourage you to do so. There's nothing like being here because you never know when something amazing is going to happen. How many times have we seen it happen? You know, earlier today, I watched those old videos of State winning Game 2 and Game 3 of the 2021 College World Series. I thought to myself, I'm so glad that I was there to witness that. And one of the things that I always pay special attention to is the crowd. Like when I go back and watch those old videos, and sometimes you can see the same faces. There's a lot of people that are true maroon. They go to everything. And every time you turn around, it's like, hey, I know that face. I may not know that person. But I know the joy on that face. I've seen that face before at Mississippi State sporting events. And watching Game 3 of the College World Series, probably watched that, 100 times since we won it 3 years ago. But you can tell in the beginning, you know, we scored that first run, and you can just look at everybody in the crowd. It's like, you know what, hey, this thing is about to happen. And then when Kellum Clark, of course, hits that big home run to put us up 9-0, you look around the crowd and everybody's like, oh, we're finally going to do it. You can just kind of see the jubilation and also a sense of relief in the faces of those Bulldog fans that were there. And I think it's so important to be here to support our student athletes and support our university. And you say, Steve, you don't have to buy a ticket. No, I don't, but I often do for our family members and friends. And it's so important. You know, it's just like I think about, you know, people have asked me, you know, Steve, what's your top 10 moments covering Mississippi State? It'd be difficult for me to put that thing together, but I would say near the top, probably just behind us winning the College World Series, is the day we beat Auburn to go to number one in the country back in 2014 in football. And I remember walking off the field and walking towards the post-game press conference, and I passed Dr. Mark Keenum. who was on the field, taking it all in, and really looking at the student section and watching our players go and rejoice with our students and just seeing the absolute delirious chaos that was happening at Davis-Wade Stadium. It was a moment that we have not seen. We all knew. Not only were we going to probably rank number one in the country, probably going to leapfrog over Ohio State, we had proven we were a big-time team and a big-time program. That Dan Mullen had us on the right track. And I think to myself, as I walk by Dr. Keenum and Scott Strickland's there and Kyle Stewart, I think, was close by, but you're walking across there and it's like, this is one of those moments that was probably great on TV. It probably was. But it was a memory that will last those in attendance an absolute lifetime. The fact that we were there, people got to ring their cowbells, you got to see it all up close, and got to see us take the next step as a program. And there have been so many times in our history that we feel like, hey, we're a pretty good team this year. And then somebody within our league would remind us, you may be pretty good, but you're not great. On that day, we were great. We got to experience something we'd never seen before. And so I encourage you, listen, we're not going to have those type of memories from beating Eastern Kentucky. But I hearken back into something Dan Mullen said, years ago. He goes, hey, you don't build the great program and then show up. We got to sell out every game. You need to show that you're a big-time program, whether the result's there or not. And I tend to agree with that. And, of course, it's a lot easier to pack the car when you expect the Bulldogs to win. And we certainly expect the Bulldogs to win next Saturday. But it's the first game of the Jeff Lebby era. It is. And I encourage you to come out and support that. I think it's a great thing. Kind of show these players and these coaches that we are behind them. I hope they don't have to win your loyalty, because you're a Bulldog fan. And so, again, if you're already on the fence about buying tickets, let's pack the car, get the kids, get them a new Mississippi State shirt, and let's go enjoy an evening together as we kick off the Jeff Lebby era here at Mississippi State. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. I plan to get in there one day this week. I'm not sure what day. I'm not even to eat today. Plan to get back in there soon. I was in there last week, had the comeback burger. We only got about a little less than 2 weeks left before the comeback burger goes away. I'm advocating and I hope that the comeback burger becomes a regular menu item. As I had a friend last week in town, we met at Bulldog Burger Company to talk about some music stuff. And he goes, hey, what are you going to have? I said, I'm having a comeback burger because I can only have it for a limited time. He goes, let me try it too. And about halfway through, he turns to our server, Ian Robertson, and says, this thing is a winner. I absolutely agree. You can't miss with the comeback burger. I think it's something you'll have fun with. So when you're enjoying one of their three great locations, of course, University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor, out in the Ridge and Flowood area, be sure and go check that out. You'll be glad you did. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They will make you and everybody around you better looking. Not cool as that, right? We all need more of that. And after a couple days of not getting a lot of rest, I think I need it too. Part of my beauty care regimen are the spring rolls from Bulldog Burger Company. Add them to your life as well. And get a chocolate shake to go or a Nutella shake to go or whatever the shake of the week is. You'll be glad you did. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's talk a little bit about what all Jeff Lebby had to say. Following the second scrimmage of camp, the first thing, I asked the first question, typically do, but the, I just kind of ask, what's your general observations? Because you never know where that's going to go. Sometimes it gets a little coach speaky, and sometimes you kind of unearth something. One of the things that he said that I thought was good to hear is last week, if you recall, he mentioned, hey, we had some pre-snap non-playing type penalties. He said that was a lot better this week. And that's what you want. You want to feel like, hey, you're getting better week to week. But he said it was still a lot of back and forth. A lot of back and forth. And that's the thing, too. It's kind of like Leach used to always say that you want to have some things to feel good about, but some things to be pissed off about, and that's always the case. Like if you're playing defense and the offense makes a play, you always say there's a bust here, a guy didn't do a job here. So you want to have some success, but also have some teachable moments, and it appears that really is the case. Now, There has been a lot of concern here as of late about Trevion Williams, and it's so interesting, too. You know, we have not had the opportunity to go to practice in a little bit, and that's really my only criticism. The availabilities have been great. Jeff Lebby has been very much available to us, but I wish we could watch a little more practice. But when we did, we noticed that Trevion Williams really wasn't running a lot of team drill reps. The limited time that we saw, kind of some OLDL stuff, he was not participating in that, which is always a concern. And so that was one of the things that was kind of brought up in the press conference on Saturday, you know, and really about him and Calvin Dinkins, just two guys that we expect some big things from. Both have been a little bit banged up. And Lebby says, quote, "They'll both play a huge piece. Both of those guys were trying to be really smart in getting them back. Dink's done a little bit more, but Trey's doing some really good things early. Both of those guys will have major impacts." I don't know how much they play against Eastern Kentucky, but I'm told that they're on pace to play against Eastern Kentucky. Now, of course, my thought process is, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way, you know, I would probably limit the snap count. Like, if they're not 100%, I'm not going to go run the risk of them getting injured against Eastern Kentucky. Remember, we lost one of these guys last year in the Southeastern Louisiana game. And so I like the approach here. If they're not 100%, we don't want a re-aggravation or a recurrence of the injury or have any setbacks in camp. It's one thing to lose a guy in the season. That's kind of the nature of football. But to lose a guy in camp, kind of a tough thing. And so those two guys, we discussed the defensive line last week. So we had some depth on the interior. But those two guys, we believe in many respects, may have the highest ceiling of the returners. So we need them to be very good. Asked about the wide receiver group. You know, of course, Chad Bumpus kind of had carte blanche last year to kind of go get who he wanted. What a great class Chad put together. And, of course, Chad's probably going to – Chad may be, if you know Chad too, Chad will be honest with you about his guys. Now, he has high hopes for everybody, but if somebody's not quite there, he's going to tag it. They got to get better. And so I thought, hey, let's ask the head coach. You know, obviously, as an offensive play caller, you want to have as many toys available. And it appears the wide receiver room is full of them for the Bulldogs. Lebby says, quote, "We have good players in the room, and we have some quality depth. We should be able to play 7 to 8 guys from the receiver room and play on those guys to play winning football." I think it means into rely. "It's not guys who can just play. It's guys who can go win. I feel we're good in that room." Now, you heard last week he talked about how happy he was with the offensive line. And then this week he talks about he feels like we're good in the receiver room. And of course, you got a lot of names. You got a lot of numbers. Got to figure out a workable rotation. Of course, hopefully, against Eastern Kentucky, just about everybody can play. But I love the statement. It's not about guys who can just go play. It's guys who can go win. You know, some of the times in the Mississippi State, you know, history, you know, we just said, well, this guy's good enough. You know, good enough has not really been good enough. You know, we've got to be great. We have to have an expectation for great. We have to talk about greatness. We have to expect greatness. We got to go out there and coach greatness. And it appears to me that Jeff Lebby certainly is on board with that with us. Talked a little bit about running back room. And, you know, that's one thing that I asked him back in the spring. And he goes, you know, we got to get better at running back. And I think going and getting Booth makes us better at running back. I mean, we would have loved to have gone in the portal and be able to get a, you know, a two-year guy. You know, a guy that comes in, and now you kind of look at it, we got three seniors. And so as a result, that kind of impacts our recruiting targets for the 2025 class. You already have two high school backs committed in this class. Probably need to add a portal guy. Probably do. Because when you begin to kind of work through that, you begin to think about, hey, you've got some talented freshmen. You know, we feel like Xavier Gayton's going to be a dude too, but you know, how much he plays this year still kind of remains a mystery. But wouldn't hurt us to have an experienced guy, and I think that's probably a priority in the portal as you get deeper into the year. And, of course, that'll all take place in December. So about 4 months from now, we'll probably be talking a lot about portal running backs because of the fact that we have, you know, three seniors to be moving on. Back to the offensive line. again, Levy praises the offensive line. And it's so interesting. We've talked about the quarterback, the starting quarterback, Blake Shapen. Coach, are you on the same page? You and Blake do it? Yeah, no question about that. Coach, how you feel about the receiver room? Hey, we're good in that room. Coach, how do you feel about the offensive line? 2 weeks in a row, and it was a good follow-up too, because we talked about them last week. Have you seen them kind of continue to progress? Levy says we got guys in that room that are getting better every day, being incredibly intentional when they're in the building. We're moving some guys around to make sure we have the best 8 or 9 with position flexibility, and we're finding the right ones. I'm proud of that group. We have a lot of work to do and a long way to go, but that group is in a good spot. And so these are the things that you want to hear. Running back, probably not exactly where we want it to be, but improving. Offensive line, 2 weeks in a row, gets good reviews by the head man. Continues to say good things about shape and good things about wide receiver. I guess the only thing we hadn't really asked him about as of late is the tight end room. But I like the fact that Levy, an offensive-minded coach, is finding that he has some personnel groups that are rising to great expectations. When the head man is happy, I think we're all going to be happy, right? You know, again, we've talked extensively this offseason about, hey, we're going to be as good as a defense can make us. And there may be some games that we got to win a track meet. And I think we have the ability to do that against some teams, maybe not all teams. But I think we're going to have the athletes to compete on offense. And that'll put a lot of pressure on other teams defensively. And, of course, when you can score, you know, proficiently, it puts a lot of pressure on the other offense too. You go up there and you begin to get some separation in the game, people quickly kind of get out of their game plan. And sometimes that plays into your hands. So, again, I like what we're hearing about the offense from Jeff Levy. And, listen, you guys have heard him speak. He's not a guy that's just going to sit here and just coach speak you to death. Now, he's not just automatically going to just lay his cards on the table either. You got to go fish a little bit with him. But you've heard him say, hey, we've got to get better here. We got to get better there. And so all of a sudden, when he starts saying, hey, this room's had a good week, this room is getting better, we're in a good spot here, that resonates with me because I've heard the other end of it, right? It's not like week after week after week. It's the same thing. But all of a sudden, as we get closer to the season, we're starting to get a little praise out of the head man. I think that's important. I think it's a really important thing. And one of the questions that was asked is like, hey, you know.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Where would you say you are in relation to being prepared for the season? Now, I can assure you there's not a coach in the country right now with 10 days to go that feels like he's ready to play a game. No matter what anybody would tell you, everybody understands how valuable these final practices are before you play the season opener. And more times than not, you play that season opener and you still have a lot of question marks. You may not have them publicly, they may not be out in the media, but as a coaching staff, you're thinking, man, I sure hope so-and-so can hold up at this spot here. We'll find out, you know. And so that's an important aspect of this thing too, but, you know, it's like, hey, coach, where are you? And, of course, he probably gives you the most predictable answer possible. Hey, we're right in the middle. I like where we are. I also like that we have 2 weeks left to clean stuff up and dial in on detail. That's something all of our guys are looking forward to. And so, yeah, first-year coach, in his mind, I'm sure you're never going to really be, quote, ready to go play that first game. You're not going to be ready. You got a brand new roster. You got players, number one, you didn't coach last year, and you got 45 or so more that weren't even here last year. And so you really don't even know what you have yet. Now, you can feel good about what you've seen in practice, but you don't know how a team is going to respond until they get on the field and play an opponent. Until they have to hit somebody else when the band is playing and cowbells are clanging, everybody's getting ready to sing the fight song. You don't know. You think you know, but you don't know. And as a first-year head coach, I'm sure there's even more trepidation behind that. There's even more worry. It's like, you know what? I just don't know. But I can tell you that everybody you speak to, no matter who they are or how experienced they are, everybody's going to tell you, you know, hey, we need these last few practices to be really good for us. You know, we need our game prep to be good. We need our film evaluations to be good. Our game planning's got to be good. Our installation's got to be good. Nobody, until the toe meets rubber, is going to sit here and tell you, hey, we're ready. They may say that to their team, but as a coach, there is always that concern because that's the nature of coaching, especially as the head man, is you're always kind of looking at weaknesses and things that you could possibly shore up. That's an important aspect of coaching. Now, you get out there and always talk about, hey, this guy's going to be great, this guy's going to be great. It's difficult to coach those guys. And coaching, in many respects, requires a critical eye. Maybe not always a critical mouth, but a critical eye. That's the best part of self-scouting, right? You got to go through this and say, hey, could we be better if we did this? Or if we moved this guy here, if we started this guy over that, or move this guy to the 2 deep, this guy. You got to think, you don't want to tinker too much, you know, because you get into game prep, you know, it's, hey, depth chart set. That's one of the things that we'll find out next week. You know, and again, I'm going to say this as calmly and nicely and friendly as I can. The depth chart is for entertainment purposes only. Understand that. And not to mention a lot of the depth charts that get floated out there are completely incorrect. Mike Leach used to troll the media at times with the depth chart because Leach didn't fill it out. And then sometimes he would tell the person that did, hey, put so-and-so first team. The depth chart is written in sand. And people are always like, hey, this guy's a 2 deeper. Or this guy, I read all the little updates that I saw said so-and-so was running first team guard, and then he doesn't play, and you're wondering what's happened. I would just tell you to go question your sourcing rather than be critical of the university or the football program, because the truth of the matter is that the availability of each player is going to vary week to week. And, you know, I wouldn't tip off my opponents, and it's going to be interesting too, and this is a question we probably should have already asked Jeff Levy. A lot of discussion out there about them kind of forcing the issue as far as, you know, kind of more detailed injury reports. You know, Mike Leach, God rest his soul, would have absolutely lost his mind about that. How many times did you see it? Well, Coach, what can you tell us about Dollar Bill? Well, Dollar Bill's doing great. He's superhuman. Looks like the rest of us, you know. Just like the rest of us. He's 100%, you know. And Leach used to tell me that he felt the guys that got up there and talked about injuries were just kind of making excuses. He goes, it's my job as a coach to find a way to win with the personnel that's available to me. And you go out there and you talk about, hey, this guy's beat up or this unit's beat up. He said, it's almost like you're laying the groundwork to excuse a defeat. And he goes, I just don't feel like that I should do that. So it wasn't the fact that he was kind of being cagey with the media. It's just the fact that he's like, hey, we're going to take who we got and we're going to go try to win a football game. I sense some of that with Jeff Levy, too. And Jeff had kind of told us earlier in the year, yeah, I'm not really going to talk about injuries unless the guy's out for the year. But it'll be interesting now that this – it hasn't been mandated yet, but there's a lot of discussion that it's going to be, that you got to get out there and give an injury report, I would presume, on Monday. And we're going to talk a little bit about some banged-up guys a little bit later in the show when we kind of break down a secondary. But that'll be interesting to kind of see how that kind of unfolds there. I've asked about the specialist. You know, he said it's neck and neck. Said Levy, we've got one more week of competition before we dial in on one guy and name him a starter from a kickoff or a field goal standpoint. I like Roberto Vimar. I expect Nick Barmira to be the kickoff guy and Kyle Ferry to be your field goal specialist. That's what I expect. Now, according to some people, they disagree. But based on what I'm hearing, that's what's going to happen. And that Kyle Ferry is going to be your field goal kicker, and Nick Barmira will be. And Barmira may actually be a factor in the punting game, too. We'll kind of see. But I like kind of what I'm hearing about that group. And considering that we're probably going to be in some games where flipping the field is going to be important, special teams may take on greater significance this year for Mississippi State than it did even last year. And I go back and I think about us losing that ball game in Arkansas. We missed three field goals, and what do you know? We lose by a field goal. Stuff that still just chaps my hide. It absolutely does. I'm sure you guys feel the same way. And we go up there in 2021, we were the better team. Got behind early. We kind of battled our way back. Next thing you know, hey, we're in this thing. And Will Rogers, one of his finest moments as a Bulldog quarterback, you know, you feel like the game is over. And what do you know? Will leads us right down the field, less than a minute to go, and puts us in position to kick a game-time field goal. We can't do it. And even Sam Pittman trolled us and said, I knew he wasn't going to make it as soon as he walked out there. Many of you felt the same way. And that's not necessarily to be critical of the kicker at the moment. But the reality of it is that we had no faith in the kicking game that year. And that's an indictment on the previous staff. I mean, you can't be in that situation. And granted, we had a guy get hurt. Okay, I get that. But when we have to go out there and hold our breath for an extra point and a short field goal, that, you know, then there wasn't a short field goal to tie it at Arkansas. But we missed three. You can't miss three field goals in a game on the road and expect to win. It's just, you know, it's just a recipe for disaster. But Kyle Ferry, of course, has been very, very good. And I expect that to continue. And I don't really care what anybody else says or reports. It makes no difference to me. I trust my sourcing on this 100%. And so, barring a setback, I feel like that, you know, our kickoff specialist and our field goal kicking will be good. You know, punting, we'll kind of see. And that was, we talked about that on the show extensively last year. It was one of the most frustrating things about the season for me. You said, well, Steve, the losing, I think they contributed to the losing. You can't go out there. I mean, goodness, we could pull a kid out of the student section and go out there and average 30, 32 yards a punt. I mean, I'm just kind of telling it for what it is. And one of the reasons that our net punting average is so good is because I think they were so surprised that we couldn't kick it farther. It was absolutely abysmal last year. And listen, I wish everybody that ever wears a maroon and white the best as they move forward, unless they play against us. And if they play against us, I hope they have a terrible game. I'm petty. But we went out, got those guys, and they just weren't good. And here's the thing, too, that there's nothing wrong with being honest about that. There are some players that are just not good enough to play here in every sport. It's, you know, the Peter principle. Everybody rises to their own level of incompetence. And again, it kind of goes back to what Jeff Levy said. We're not just looking for guys that can play. We're looking for guys that can win. We need to be about winning, not just playing. And there have been several times in my life that even our fan base has kind of embraced, well, I just want to keep it close. I don't ever want to keep it close. I don't want to get blown out either. But I want to win games. I don't want to be able to say, well, you know, the transitive properties of our loss, you know, Arkansas lost to Alabama by 17. We only lost by 10, so we should be able to beat them. Got nothing to do with anything. Just something to talk about. But we have to have a winning mentality. And there are a lot of people got strong opinions about that. And one of the things that I'll tell you, and I know some people aren't going to like this, and I don't care. It is now football season. Football season. It doesn't matter where the stripes are on the pants. It doesn't really matter what logo we wear. The best branding that we have or we have ever had is when we've won. Period. We went to number one in the country with those Banner M helmets, and I don't like that logo as a sports logo. I've been very open about that. But you know what? Nobody called and said, hey, Steve, what do you think we should wear this year? Goodness, my wife doesn't even ask me that. What do you think I should wear this evening? I'm typically asking her, hey, how are you dressing? You know, because I don't want to be underdressed, even though I typically am, because I'm going to go and be myself and be comfortable with my own skin. But what matters now is not about, quote, marketing. What matters now is what happens on that football field. We can wear green helmets for all I care, provided that we win football games. That may be a thing. You know, it's not going to be. But you understand my point. It's time for us to major in major things. And it's interesting, a lot of people out there, what they think is important to them. And I'm going to give you a quick aside on this, right? I worked with a guy one time that did not know the difference between the need for a text and the need for a call. Just for some reason couldn't comprehend it. You know, I'm sitting there working through some budget stuff, and I got all kind of stuff I'm working on. I mean, stuff, and they're aware of this. They're aware that I'm very, very busy, and I'm on a deadline. I got stuff I got to do. And so they text me, and then immediately before I can even respond to the text, the phone is ringing. And so my policy on that, and I enacted this policy years ago because of this individual, if you text me and then immediately call me, I'm not calling you back for 1 hour. 1 hour. And if you call again, I'm adding 2 hours. When you text me, especially when I'm busy, you should understand that I'm busy. I will get back to you at my earliest convenience. I'm prioritizing what's important in my life, right? And so it's so incredible to me how a lot of that kind of correlates to what we do now. I think everybody kind of sees that for what it is. There are some people in the world, and I'm not limiting this to the Mississippi State fan base because it's just that it wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be accurate. But there are some people, they think what they are obsessive about or what they stress is important, that you should too, and that everybody should. And you know what? Sometimes that's true. But when we get bogged down in the minutiae of sports, and we start saying, hey, you know, well, we need to do this, is it going to win us a game? Because that's where we are now. Anything that we do right now should be about winning us a game. And that, to be honest with you, that should be Zach Selman's first question with every request that anybody in an athletic department ever makes. Hey, Zach, we should do this. Hey, is that going to help us win a game? Well, I think so. Well, is it going to help us win a game? Well, impress a recruit, so that may help. Okay, well, cool. Then let's do it. Hey, I want to go write this check for this. Is it going to help us win a game? Well, no, I just like it. Okay, we're not going to do that then. Everything that we have to do from this point forward should be about winning football games. Nothing else matters. It mattered when we had, Scripps State month. It mattered when we had No Maroon Pants month. All that stuff mattered then. It doesn't matter now. Because you can get beat in the same pair of pants you went in. You can get beat 50-0 wearing the same logo that you beat Alabama in. Right now, it's about football. And it's time for all of us to come together and focus on football. And you say, hey, Steve, what we think and do doesn't really matter. Well, in some respects, it does. It doesn't impact the field unless you're coming to the game, and you should. But nothing we do between now and the end of the season is going to impact the game when it comes to these little minor things. And I love the people. It's of the, well, Steve, the minor details matter. And then you meet them and you're like, they don't matter to them. That's the thing it's important to understand. A lot of people want to kind of enforce standards that they don't enforce on themselves, right? They want to hold Mississippi State to a certain standard. I don't accept mediocrity. And then you find out that really everything about them is mediocre. And so maybe that's part of the issue too. It's like, hey, everything around me is just kind of average. I really want my sports team to be great so I can feel better about life. Maybe that's true. But everything from now to the end of the season, the end of the Egg Bowl or perhaps a bowl game, has got to be about winning football games. And I'm going to share this with you too. And Zach Selman doesn't need me to run interference for him, but all the emails and everything else about everything else, my honest opinion is he shouldn't respond to them. And that may hurt your feelings. It's what's my athletic director. Sure, he is. And you feel free to voice your opinion about stuff when you come to the Road Dogs tour and all that kind of stuff, where you see Zach in person. But now that we're in football mode, you know, the fact that you think, hey, could we get a little bit less ice in the drinks? That's got to wait. That's got to wait. Everybody needs to be united in the same cause, and that's winning football games. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. And here's the deal, too. Many of you maybe have considered buying property, and maybe you just don't know how to go about it. Maybe you've attempted to buy a property in the past, and you've been turned down. Or maybe you're just kind of starting out in life and you don't know anything about the process. Rather than go through all the guesswork and maybe landing with the wrong individual that'll get you in a bad deal, stick with a winner like Blair Chandler. 23 years of experience in this industry. Top 1% close ratio in the country back-to-back-to-back years. Recently made the move to Priority One Mortgage. The same level of service went with him. He has closed several Boneyard loans over the years. And so it's important that you understand, hey, this is someone that can make this process a little easier for you. You can visit the website, but let me give you his phone number, just between us girls here. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. That goes directly to Blair. To the man himself, not through a call center, not through a receptionist, directly to him. You're dealing with one of the best mortgage loan originators the state of Mississippi's ever seen. All right, so let's be sure and kind of check in with him and get all your mortgage needs taken care of. It doesn't matter if it's, could be a game day condo in your future, which may prove to be more affordable than you think because Blair's a guy that can get creative. Or maybe you're looking to buy a home for the first time. Maybe life has dealt you a curveball and you've got to go through a life reset. Maybe it's a transfer, a relationship change. I don't know. But take something stressful off your plate and give it to Blair in the capable hands of which he will handle all of those things for you. Take the guesswork out of it. Don't overcomplicate it. Deal with a winner like Blair Chandler. Thus, closewithblair.com. Okay. We did the acoustic guitar intro list, I guess it was last Monday. I had two requests for this, and it's such a great list. And I love the list. I really do. It's one of those things, too. I love music that builds, right? And so two people hit me up. One's name was James and Debbie. So two listeners hit me up and said, hey, Steve, that was a really good list. But there's some great songs with piano intros, rock songs, classic rock songs, songs that we all know, songs that we all love. Steve, can you please lead us to the promised land? And yes, you have come to the right place. No one could do a better list than this one. I'm just going to lay it out there for you. We may disagree on the order, and I know there's some other great songs with piano intros, but in my estimation, these are the top 10. These are the top 10. And I know as sure as I say that, somebody's going to hit me up next week and say, Steve, you missed this one. And I'm going to say, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Not that I'm from Louisiana, but I did live there for a while. So here we go. Top 10 classic rock songs with a piano intro. Some of these you're already thinking right now. I know this is on the list. Chances are you're correct. Number 10. A song that starts with a piano intro and kind of works its way in through some synthesizer type stuff and then on the last minute or so is kind of rocking. It sticks as Come Sail Away. It's a Dennis DeBerg song, and you know, I really prefer the Tommy Shaw songs, but this is a Dennis song, and the vocal on it is incredible. But I love the piano intro on it because it begins so softly, and then it just builds and builds and builds over the length of the song. And by the end of it, you're just singing along and you're like, you know what, I'm feeling good about life. And that's the best thing about music, man. It can change your mood. There's a song to fit every mood, but sometimes when I'm kind of down and depressed, I just want to listen to something up tempo and kind of turn that mood around. That's one of those songs that can do it for you. Number nine. This is one of those songs, too, that a lot of people know. And again, piano intro, and then this one kind of gets a little bit, it's very much a pop song, but it really kind of builds and builds and builds. And the outro is unlike the intro. It's David Bowie's Changes. Absolutely love that song. I know many of you do as well. And speaking of piano intros, just yesterday on my way to Hattiesburg, I had to put on some Tupac. It just kind of hit me. Got that earworm, and I had to listen to Tupac's Changes. So if you want to add that in there too, you can. But absolutely love that. Of course, there's just so much to that. That was kind of a take on a Bruce Hornsby beat on the Tupac thing. But anyway, I digress. Number eight, there are a few songs that we could go with this band that, you know, Christine McVie did a great job kind of laying down and tickling the ivories for us a little bit. But I decided to go with Don't Stop. I love that song. It's one of those songs, even in the early 90s, it had a bit of a resurgence. And I love the fact that this new generation has embraced Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac. It tells me, number one, there's been some good parenting, but also, too, that there are a lot of people that have some pretty good taste when it comes to music. Because I don't think a lot of stuff today is memorable. I'm just going to say it for what it is. And I don't want you to get off my lawn or anything. But I had somebody, just yesterday, somebody shared this Facebook post to me and said, hey, what was better in the 80s than it is today? And somebody said just about everything. There's some truth to that. And as I mentioned last night over dinner, I love the fact that I don't have to go buy a record, a full-length LP, to get one song. I love the technology that's available today. So any song that strikes my mood, I can just go, typically can go find it on Apple Music. But the music from the 80s is superior. The movies from the 80s, I would venture to say the fashion from the 80s. And in some respects, I would say the morality of the 80s, even though it was the decade of excess, better than today. Not going to spend a lot of time on that. But there's a lot of things that were better back then. This one person astutely pointed out life was better in the 80s. All right, number seven. I think this is the saddest love song of all time. Of all time. Some people may disagree. Part of it's because I'm a huge Amy Lee fan. Huge. Huge. I even kind of like some of the dance stuff she did. But who knew that we had this Victorian beauty living out of time from Arkansas? That make any sense? What an angelic voice from Amy Lee and Evanescence. And the song is My Immortal. And the band version, you got to go with the band version. Okay, I don't like the adult contemporary version nearly as much. I feel like I get shortchanged when I don't hear the full band kind of kick in. And the video is incredible. Not just because she's so incredibly beautiful, but because I think the song and the mood is encapsulated in the video. It's great. And it's one of those things, too. And at some point, we've all been in these relationships. And we may not even realize it for a while. But that's the thing. You know, it's like you get through it and you begin to kind of wonder. You know, you do. It's like, though you're still with me, I've been along all the while. Man, that's tough. It is. It's tough. But I love the song. I love the authenticity. I love the fact that it elicits a lot of emotion from people. And I remember seeing a YouTube video some time ago when Amy was singing this song in Paris, France, sold out show, and she's singing it, and the crowd just kind of takes over. And that's what great songs do, right? They become ours. You know, somebody else may have written and performed this song, but because we so identify with the message, it becomes part of us. And that is one of these songs. Number six, a song that's been part of the Mississippi State experience for some time. And some of you don't like it. Some of you are just hot take, clickbait people anyway. It's true. You just don't want anybody to tell you that. But it's like, I'm going to hate everything. You know, no matter what happens, I hate this. I hate that. I hate the hot dogs. I hate the drinks. I hate the team. I hate the uniforms. I hate the music. I hate everything. But when we started doing Don't Stop Believing before the fourth quarter, it was pretty cool. And listen, I get it. You're down 51 and nothing, Don't Stop Believing kind of misses the mark. But a lot of people, you know, began to kind of market that. The maroon and white shirts and said, this is a small town girl. You know, I love it, man. I love it. And this is one of those songs, too, that I think really resonates with people. And again, it may be a little bit overplayed in the Mississippi State experience. But it's an amazing song. And I have read, and it's so interesting, too, like, I think some of these music journalists were, like, born in, like, 2010. Because I have read extensively over the years, the most downloaded song is Don't Stop Believing. Got a big push, of course, at the end of Sopranos. A lot of people were like, hey, what's that song? So it kind of unveiled it to a new generation. Number five, great song off the Use Your Illusion 2 album, I guess. It's November Rain from Guns N' Roses. And again, a song that builds and builds and builds. The video, fabulous. We get to see Stephanie Seymour. Chef's kiss. But the video itself is, I don't remember how far over budget it went, but they really went all out with this. And they had a little bit of a short film around it. And the whole thing is based on a short story. Axl Rose has talked about that. It was a short story that he read. And it inspired the concept for the video. Super cool. You can find that video on YouTube as well. Number four, and you knew we'd get here eventually. Some of you would think it's number one because I am a Lynyrd Skynyrd fan, and I am from Mississippi. I'm a Mississippi kid, but it's number four, and it's Freebird. And you say, but Steve, if that's number four, the top three, well, you may have a different top four. And I love the intro to this. And, of course, Freebird, I think, is one of the best guitar solos of all time. He had three guitar solos. Everybody played. Steve Gaines, Alan Collins, Gary Washington. Everybody had their own part. Alan Collins wrote this song but didn't want anybody to feel left out. Great track. A Southern. It's basically like if Simple Man is the Amazing Grace of the South, I got to think Freebird may be the I'll Fly Away, Oh Glory, you know, that song. It's a Southern hymn, man. Number three, I got a friend of mine I had dinner with last night. He'll be pleased this song make the list, but it's a no-brainer to me. Love the song, love the piano intro, love again how it builds, love the vocal on it, and it's the Beatles' Hey Jude. And if you've seen the movie Yesterday, it's kind of about the Beatles disappearing from the face of the earth, and like the only guy, there's one guy that got it and remembered the Beatles, and so he began to kind of play their music, and he became a superstar. And he had to work with Ed Sheeran, and Ed Sheeran had this great idea. Hey, let's change it to Hey Dude. No, we're not doing that, Ed. Respect your songwriting ability, and I know you didn't write that in the script, but no, we're not doing Hey Dude. Number two, this may be a surprise for many of you. I think it is one of the best rock songs of all time. The vocal on this is so incredible. There are a lot. If you listen to Mickey sing, I think you would feel like, you know what, I'm not a singer. Even if you are, you'd say, you know what, I can't do that. I'm not a part of that. That's a level of talent that I'll never reach. No matter how much I rehearse, it's God-given. And Mike Portnoy and Joel Hoekstra from Whitesnake and Dino all covered it. It was my favorite COVID cover. And you can find their version. It's amazing, better than the original. But it's Jefferson Starship's Jane. And I love the piano intro, and I love the piano throughout the song, but I love the vocal on it. It is just so incredibly great. Jane from Jefferson Starship. If you are a young buck and you're looking for, like, hey, I want to surprise the parents, and I want to play I want to get involved with a classic rock song that maybe they didn't turn me on to, this is it right here. It's Jefferson Starship's Jane. Number one, though, I think this is a no-brainer at number one. Some of you may disagree. You know my affinity for Queen. Her Majesty the Queen. It's Bohemian Rhapsody. And how could it not be? It's so great, and it's so funny too. Like, you hear the opening bars and people just begin to sing. This is one of those epics. This is one of those songs that just kind of stands the test of time. And, you know, Wayne's World, of course, kind of reintroduced it to a new generation. And, of course, then the movie Bohemian Rhapsody came out. This, again, a masterpiece of music composition. And if you haven't seen the movie, I'd encourage you to see it. But it's Bohemian Rhapsody. Bo Rap, man, how in the world could you move away from that? And Freddie so amazingly constructed the song in a way that even if you don't like, even if it doesn't resonate with you, it's just such a fun song to sing. And you know, when Garth Allgaier was driving that Pacer, and Mike Myers, who was Wayne Campbell, gets in the car and says, "Hey, Bohemian Rhapsody, gentlemen." And next thing you know, you're like, "What is this?" And you see how much fun they're having, and it makes you want to have fun too, right? So that's our list. And again, thank you guys so much for your feedback, and I appreciate the suggestion. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit us up on social media. Roy Samanthi, my friend, the keeper of the list, is on Spotify and Twitter, now called X, at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. Give him a follow. He's not going to be tweeting out pictures of his birthday cake or anything like that. There's not going to be any shirtless pics, even if you're into that thing. Roy's not going to do that. He rarely ever tweets. But when he does, he sends out our list, and that'll make it easier for you to find him. Not everybody's a Spotify listener. I get that. But we do appreciate your feedback. If you are on Spotify, you can just follow Roy there and then peruse our fine list and download them. You never know. Something cool may come along. I kind of enjoy being the DJ for you folks, too. I do. I enjoy, like, hey, I've had so many people have hit me up and said, "Hey, Steve, when I travel sometimes, I kind of get stale with on the podcast and that kind of stuff, and I just want to hear some music." And I've, "Hey, Steve, you turned me on to some songs that I forgot and some bands that I didn't know." I love it. I love being the DJ for you guys. And so let us know if you have an idea. We just might do it. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I was in there earlier this week, well, I guess the weekend, and I went by and visited Miss Kathy Brown. Love her to death, man. So they do such a great job outfitting this wonderful fan base in the latest in Mississippi State merchandise. Whether you need new clothing, whether you need new decorative items, maybe you need to get a birthday gift, an anniversary gift, because nothing makes Bulldog fans smile more than getting new Bulldog merchandise. So look no further than Campus Bookmart. We may have a special announcement coming up pretty soon. We'll share that with you when the details are finalized. But yeah, next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. You'll be glad you did. If you can't make it to town, you can visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. You can also get some of my books there. You know, while you're visiting, you can peruse their website, find everything you need, and have it delivered right to your door. We encourage you, as always, do your best to support a Starkville business. You know, when you go do your online shopping, instead of going to Amazon or eBay or whatever, you know, and getting something that perhaps is not licensed and not the right color, stick with the experts at Campus Bookmart. Visit the website at campusbookmart.net, and by being a Loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. It's BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Okay, we are going to complete our opponent previews today. And so we are at the end of the schedule, the regular season schedule, which means we've got to talk about the Ole Miss Rebels. Now, interestingly enough, you know, Lane Kiffin joined the program back in 2020. You guys may remember all that. They did. They went 5-5. Of course, they opted out of playing Texas A&M, which is probably a loss that year. Probably. But they didn't play the game. So it is what it is. They went 5-5. And so ever since then, though, it's been a good run, you know, for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. I think everybody that's you know, probably objective about this would agree. I mean, Lane Kiffin's probably exceeded expectations at Ole Miss. In 2021, they go 10-3. They lose the Sugar Bowl. Still finished ranked 11th in the AP poll. In 2022, they went 8-5. And, of course, that's, you know, Mike Leach's last year. You win the Egg Bowl. A lot of people And the college football media said Ole Miss has left Mississippi State behind. We not only do we have the better record, we win the bowl game and finish with a top 25 ranking ourselves and the Golden Egg Trophy. Now, last year, much different dynamic. Ole Miss goes 11-2. They win the Peach Bowl, finish ranked in the top 10. They return much of that team this year, expected to be really good. Let's take a quick look back at last year. They open up with a 73-7 win over Mercer. And I'm sure that made a lot of people happy, except for the Bears of Mercer. At least they got a check out of it. But tough deal. And, of course, then they had to go to Tulane. A lot of people thought Tulane may upset them. Of course, quarterback was out for Tulane. It was a game for a while. Give the Green Wave a lot of credit. Willie Fritz, the group down there, did a really good job. Of course, Willie's moved on. But Tulane was ranked 22nd at the time. So it was a good win. It's a very good mid-major program that has won a lot of games the last, few years. Got him at home, had to play with a backup quarterback, but it was a bit of a game for a while. They host Georgia Tech the next weekend, 48-23, and that's a Power 5 thing that went absolutely the way Ole Miss needed it to go. They schedule that game, and then Georgia Tech obviously hasn't been very good. It counts just the same. Right? But 48-23 win, really no question there. They go to Alabama. A lot of people in the SEC media were picking Ole Miss to go to Tuscaloosa and win, and they don't. It's a 24-10 victory for Alabama, and I don't know if you remember this, but it was a game for a while. It was 7-6 Ole Miss at the break, and then Alabama puts up 11 points in the third and then puts the game away with a touchdown in the fourth. That Alabama defense really, really good in the second half. And they win the game 24-10. A lot of Ole Miss people thought, well, we can still win the West. We just need a little help. They get LSU 55-49, a wild game, if you remember. I'm sure many of you watched that game, but this is one of those crazy ones. Ole Miss scores 21 points in the fourth quarter to win that game 55-49. And, Ole Miss jumped out to the early lead. It was 21-7. And then LSU comes storming back. It is 31-28 at halftime in favor of Ole Miss. And then defensively, LSU kind of tightens up there in the third quarter, and they take the lead. And then Ole Miss does what good teams do. They found a way to win a ball game. And it was so crazy, too, that you look up late after LSU has gone and done some good things, and they're up 49-40 halfway through the fourth quarter, and then Ole Miss finds a way. It's what happens. They go make things happen. Jackson Dart scores. It's now a two-point ball game. Ole Miss gets the ball back late. And touchdown pass from Jackson Dart. 55-49. Big win. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Big win in Oxford. And everybody thought, hey, a lot of Bulldog fans say, hey, they lose to LSU. They're out of the race. But it lingered for a while. Arkansas. And for some reason, Arkansas tends to really play up against Ole Miss. I can't really explain it. I'm sure there's some Ole Miss fans out there that probably think the same thing. It's like, why does Arkansas always kind of the fly in the ointment for us? And there have been some years in the last several where Arkansas has kind of wrecked Ole Miss's season. Everybody knows 4th-and-25. Everybody knows that. One of the wildest finishes we've ever seen. Arkansas actually leads the series with Ole Miss 38-30. And, of course, they win last year. But it was 27-20. The year before, Arkansas ran all over Ole Miss. In 21, Ole Miss wins it 52-51. Remember K.J. Jefferson incomplete on a two-point play on the final play of the game. In 20, Arkansas wins 33-21. I mean, so you can kind of do the math here. But a lot of these games are always close. They truly are. I mean, and there are some crazy ones, too. Of course, that 53-52 win back in 25, or in 15, excuse me, And then the next, like, oh, Arkansas beat them 4 years in a row, like 14, 15, 16, 17. And other than that, 30-0 shelling in 14. You remember that? Bad bow, right? All these games have been close. All of them. Even the games that Ole Miss won have been close. So, you know, that's one of those things that you look at and say, hey, it's in Oxford, so Ole Miss should be able to handle it. Well, they did, but Arkansas gave them a tough ball game. The next week they head to, or 2 weeks later, they head to Auburn, got to play in the Freeze Bowl, and Ole Miss wins that game too, 28-21. Another close, tight ball game. On the road, and they win. Then they get Vanderbilt, and it's a shame this rivalry has come to an end with the schedule rotation, the Battle of the Vanderbilts. But I guess Ole Miss gets to keep the trophy. They win 33-7. And then Texas A&M gives them a great game, and again, Ole Miss finds a way to win the thing, 38-35. And everybody thought, hey, they're going to go to Georgia. It's the game of the year. This is going to determine so much. And really what it did is it reminded Ole Miss that, hey, even though you've had some incredible improvements under Lane Kiffin, you still don't belong. And Georgia absolutely crushes them 52-17. I don't know if you remember that game. I'm sure many Mississippi State fans do, because we were having a tough year last year, and you were happy to see Ole Miss get destroyed. But it was 28-14 at the break. And then Ole Miss scores 3 points the rest of the game. Pretty rough game. And everybody said, well, that's probably it, you know. And some crazy stuff continued to happen. And obviously, Ole Miss didn't make it to Atlanta. The only team in the West from the original expansion back in 92, the only team when we went to divisions that never played in the SEC championship game from the West. It's a nice distinction. Of course, the Ole Miss fans listening to the show is like, yeah, we're going to make the playoffs this year. Well, you should. You may not. History has shown that when you guys have high expectations, something crazy tends to happen. They get Louisiana Monroe 35-3, and of course, they take care of us 17-7 in the Egg Bowl. And I know many of you have probably tried to block that game out of your memories. I thought the Bulldogs showed up to play. And, you know, even though, you know, Ole Miss was expected to have, and they did have a very potent offense, you know, last year, State defense played pretty well. And people forget this, too. You know, it's 3-0 at the break. That's it. And you start thinking, hey, we're in this thing. And lo and behold, Will Rogers cashes in from 1 yard out in the third quarter to make it 7-3. Ole Miss comes back, scores, makes it a 10-7 ball game. And so we're in it. And then big play, touchdown pass from Jackson Dart to Caden Priestcorn to put it away 17-7. But, you know, we still had the whole fourth quarter to play. We just couldn't get it figured out, you know. And give them credit. They came to Starkville. They win. You know, again, kind of looking back at this, they ran the football basically at will. I mean, 226 yards, still a pretty significant number. When you can run for over 200 in a Southeastern Conference game, State limited Jackson Dart considerably, went 14-26, but they made him throw underneath a lot, just 96 yards net. And the big play, of course, you're coming on the Priestcorn touchdown. I mean, you think about that for a second. The rest of the 13 completions netted 70 yards. But no matter what the statistics show, the scoreboard said 17-7. So Ole Miss has the egg. And so let's run through this year's schedule. And it's a really favorable schedule. It's a really good time if you're an Ole Miss fan because expectations are high. And you should have a really good team. Yeah, you don't have Judkins, but, you know, Bentley's going to be really good. You know, and we'll see how things kind of play out. I think Lane Kiffin has kind of shown that, you know, it really wasn't Jeff Lebby's offense. A lot of people, including myself, thought, hey, they'll probably have a little bit of a setback when Lebby leaves. I don't really know that they did. And give Lane Kiffin a lot of credit. And so they open up with Furman. That's a blowout. They get Middle Tennessee in week two. That's a blowout. They go to Wake Forest. And, you know, here's the thing about that game. Ole Miss should be favored to win that game. I don't think there's any question about that. I think Ole Miss should win the game. but having to go on the road is always tough against a Power 5 opponent. Now, when you begin to think about, you know, what Wake Forest looks like and what they have been, I mean, listen, they have been a team that has found a way to win some games. Maybe they shouldn't. I don't think they'll win this one, but I do think that they will probably put a scare at Ole Miss a little bit. And I think in the second half, Ole Miss will kind of put this thing away. I mean, they were just 4-8 last year. But it's really the whole thing about leaving home and things like that. I mean, you know, Wake Forest has had some decent teams, but I think it could be a game for a half, and then Ole Miss puts it away. Maybe not the blowout that some people project. I think Wake Forest maybe keeps this thing under 3 touchdowns, but I think in the second half, Ole Miss's offensive weaponry will just be too much for the Demon Deacons. But it could be a game for a half. Georgia Southern the next week, that's a blowout. So it's 4-0, and probably a better start than last year. You know, because last year, again, some tight games. I just don't think there's going to be any tight games in the non-conference for Ole Miss. I think they're really skilled offensively. And a lot of people think that your defense should be really good. They did a really good job in the portal. But they should be 4-0 hosting Kentucky. Now, can we ever expect Kentucky to win a game, a must-win game for us? I mean, honest to goodness, do you really think Kentucky is ever going to be able to do anything of significance? And people say, but Steve, it's just not right the way you talk about Kentucky. I mean, yeah, listen, they've had the benefit of being in the East. And that's gone away. And a lot's going to change in their lives. But, you know, they couldn't even win an Oxford with Will Levis, you know, who was supposed to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the draft. And you remember he had the big turnover late. But, you know, these games have been competitive in recent years. I think Ole Miss is better. You know, back in 17, Ole Miss wins in Lexington. In 2020, Ole Miss wins in Lexington. And you know how difficult a place that is to play. And then in 2022, again, Kentucky's in a great position there to kick the game-tying field goal at the very least. But instead, Ole Miss comes out with a big defensive play. So now, I think it'll be the same old story. You know, the hope is that Kentucky can at least, you know, slow them down a little bit. But I just don't see. I think Ole Miss wins that game, especially being at home. Not that they've had any problems winning in Lexington the last couple trips. So you're looking at 5-0. And then you got to go to South Carolina. And Williams-Brice is a tough place to play. It truly is. I just don't think there's going to be anything really there to stand in their way other than that crowd. I just don't see it. And so you look at it and say, hey, Ole Miss is going to be 6-0. Should be ranked in the top 5 based on winning. They're already ranked high. Well, then they go to LSU. I don't know if this LSU team is going to be nearly as good as what we've seen. And really, under Brian Kelly, they haven't really been elite. And yes, I understand that they won the SEC West and beat Alabama a couple years ago. But I'm sure Ole Miss is going to come to this game with a full head of steam. It's going to be a primetime game. And I think really that may work against Ole Miss. On the road, at night, in Tiger Stadium, it's going to be a raucous atmosphere. Ole Miss should win the game. But when you begin to think about, you know, history, it's so difficult to win in Baton Rouge, especially at night. Crazy things happen. Ole Miss knows this as well as I do, right? But you start working through here, you know, let's just take a quick peek at the recent games in Baton Rouge. LSU wins in 22, 45-20. LSU wins in 20, 53-48. Now, wasn't a great LSU team. LSU wins in 18, 45-16. LSU wins in 16, 38-21. LSU wins in 14, 10-7. That's a Leonard Fournette game that became a GIF. LSU wins in 2012, 41-35. LSU wins in 2010, 43-36. You got to go all the way back to 2008 when Jevon Snead, and the Rebels marched in and beat LSU in Baton Rouge. So 16 years ago, since Ole Miss has won at LSU, I think there is a real good chance they're going to lose that game at LSU. And again, we'll take a quick look at it when we get closer, but I think it's pretty safe to say that's, even the most loyal of Ole Miss Rebel fans will tell you, that's a big hill to climb. And if they're going to have success this year and get where they want to go, they got to win that game. And really, I think the pressure is going to be on Ole Miss. I just know going down there and playing LSU at night in a game they feel like they have to have, that crowd can take over. So it'll be interesting. 2 weeks later, they get Oklahoma and Oxford. Again, I think Oklahoma is going to struggle a little bit this year. You know, Venables, they weren't great last year. And then you're going to have a big step up in competition. I like Ole Miss to win this game. You like Ole Miss going to Arkansas winning the game, too. And, of course, Sam Pittman will be coaching for his job. And, again, we talked about recent history. He's kind of favored the Razorbacks. But these games have been really tight. I just don't think Arkansas is going to have the horses. I think Ole Miss, and Sam Pittman and those guys have done a really good job. But, you know, it's a new staff up there outside of that. You know, Barry Odom's been gone now for a couple of years. I think Ole Miss goes up there and probably exercises the demons a little bit there. And then they host Georgia. I'm going to be honest with you. I know this game's in Oxford. I really don't give Ole Miss any chance to win this game. Part unless somebody on Georgia's hurt, you know. I'm sure it'll be a great atmosphere. Probably fun to watch on television. But I got Georgia winning. I think even LSU, Ole Miss fans, everybody says, you know what, it's going to be a tough task for anybody. That's two losses. And then they got to go to Gainesville to close it out. And you got to wonder, okay, now Billy and those guys, I think the Gators may have quit by then. I just don't think this Florida team is going to be very good. They got some talent, but I think everybody's going to be thinking about the portal. And you got to wonder, you know, Ole Miss, how will they feel kind of coming out of that Georgia game? And they get 2 weeks to recover, so they should be okay. But it could be interesting for a bit. I don't think Florida is going to have the horses to run with Ole Miss. And then, of course, State goes to Oxford. With a chance to knock Ole Miss out of the playoffs, you got to take State. Nah, I mean, it's going to be tough. It really is. And but, yeah, you look at it right now. I think Ole Miss right now is 10-2. That's my expectation right now. Lose to Georgia, lose at LSU. Are they capable of losing some other games? Yes, but I think it's going to take almost a Herculean experience or a major injury at Ole Miss. And you don't wish that on anybody. But, yeah, they will run through the first half of the schedule without any trouble whatsoever. And then think, again, at Fayetteville's been tough. I just think Sam Pippen and those guys are going to be thinking about hiring and moving trucks at that point. At Florida, traditionally would be tough. I just think the Napier era is about to come to an end. And, of course, you never know what's going to happen in the Egg Bowl. But you've got to feel like right now you got to favor Ole Miss. And again, we'll revisit as we get a little bit closer. But the reality of it is Ole Miss should have a really good year. Will it be enough to get into playoffs? That remains to be seen. But I got the Rebels going 10-2. I don't know how you feel about it. But yeah, they should have a really good year. And if it doesn't happen this year, it's probably not going to happen. They're kind of all in for this year, and they've got a team and a favorable schedule. So it should be a year, and that's what's going to make it even tougher for Bulldog fans, right? It's because we feel like, hey, we're probably middle of the pack. Maybe we'll get bowl eligible, and these guys are playing for the playoff. You know, it seems like there is a big gap there. And so you're going to be kind of hate watching Ole Miss and hoping they drop a game. But if history has shown us anything in years when Ole Miss is expected to really contend for the SEC championship game, they find a way to lose a game they shouldn't. So we're hoping for that. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse and their Facebook page will auto-populate for you, and you can peruse their pictures and check out all the wonderful amenities that are available to you and your guests when you book your stay in the Golden Triangle at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You got that great back porch area. You got 5 bedrooms, 2 baths. You got a full-service kitchen. You got the wet bar. You get the fire pit outside. It's a wonderful place to just kind of recreate with friends or family, whether it's a couple's weekend, a family weekend. They can accommodate you just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. How cool is that? You can do your tailgating right there. A lot safer environment, too. And what I mean by that is you don't have to worry about your possessions walking off. It's unfortunate. That's the world we live in. But you can tailgate there and then leave there and just go enjoy the game and then come back and pack up and clean up. Or even do it before you go to the game. But the reality of it is, that's a great option for you. Now, when you Google, some booking options are going to come up too. You're going to have Airbnb, you're going to have VRBO, and you can go that route if you want to. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. I can save you 10% with promo code BSR10. And it doesn't always have to be a weekend deal. This is the renovated clubhouse. It's available throughout the year. So if you're bringing a work group to town, this may be a better option for you than going out and getting 5 hotel rooms. Be sure and check it out today, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Let's talk DBs here for a little bit, talk Bulldogs secondary. And I look forward to talking some more offensive stuff later in the week. Now, this group has been a little bit beat up, and that's a thing too. A lot of new faces, but some returning guys too. We're going to start with Kelly Jones. This young man is 6'4", 195 pounds, runs a legitimate sub 4'4", 40-yard dash. Was just a quarterback in high school because he was the best athlete on the field. And I remember watching his film the very first time, and I'm thinking, why doesn't this kid have 20 offers? Ended up being a little bit of a battle late between State and Ole Miss, and State ultimately wins there. Kelly's a guy that grew up wanting to play at Mississippi State, and it's difficult to overcome that. But after a redshirt year, Kelly Jones has emerged as what is believed to be the top cornerback on the team. And to be honest with you, when you begin to look at what we've had historically with Martin Emerson and Emmanuel Forbes, DeCamrion Richardson, he is in that same category, and he might be a better athlete than all three of those guys. And of course, all three of those guys are in the National Football League now. Kelly Jones has the potential to follow in their footsteps, and we need him to be very, very good. And with his catch radius and his length, he is a guy that will probably draw some very important matchups against some of the best receivers in the Southeastern Conference. And so I don't expect him to be an all-conference player this year, but I think with his athleticism, he is going to give you a very, very important counter against some very talented players. And you make a mistake around him, it could cost you some points. Because of the fact with his foot speed, when he gets going the other direction, it's going to be tough to catch him in the open field. We need him to be good. I think by the end of his career, if he works hard and stays healthy, he's going to be great. But this year expected to be first year where he's going to get major snaps. So there'll be some growing pains, but the raw materials are there to be an excellent player. Diego Bromfield transfers over from Memphis. Obviously, a guy that knows Matt Barnes well, a native of Cincinnati, Ohio, played at LaSalle High School. And you start working through the stuff here. He's been a little bit banged up. He's a little more of a squat corner, even though he's about 6 foot. But again, decent catch radius here. And so this is a guy that had a really good year at Memphis. We need him to have a really good year here. Another Memphis Tiger that has joined us is Travion Wright. Redshirt freshman in his own right, 6 foot, 180 pounds. Again, another lengthy guy. Hadn't played a ton of college football, and so he may be a guy that's probably down the depth chart a little bit this year, but I do think you'll have an opportunity to see him play. Could see some meaningful snaps there from him, kind of later in ball games, I guess you could say. But, we'll see how things go, provided everybody can stay healthy. Now, Radar Jones, a guy that was, four-star out of high school. He was a quarterback at Horn Lake High School. He goes to LSU, ends up leaving LSU, had some academic issues he needed to address. He got that taken care of. And, we need Radar to be good. But to expect him a challenge for a starting spot at this point in his career is probably asking a bit much. But a very skilled athlete, 6'2", 180 pounds, and you're starting to see kind of a consistent theme here with these Bulldog corners. Much bigger, much longer. Guys really fleet of foot, and Radar certainly fits that metric. Now, Bryce Pollock was a guy that played substantial snaps last year as a freshman. He'll be better for it this year. We expect Bryce to certainly be in the rotation, possibly starting opposite Kelly Jones. And we'll kind of see how things go, but certainly at 6'1", 190 pounds, and a varsity letter under his belt, he is a guy that has kind of been through the rigors of SEC play, and for a while there, he was absolutely outstanding. Got beat on a ball against Auburn that proved to be a pretty big possession in that ball game. But again, he's better for the experience. Now, Kamari Rogers is 100% healthy now. Last year, of course, his first year at Mississippi State, coming back from an ACL injury, kind of took a little while, and had a chance to speak to his dad here a few months back, and he is in really good spirits and feels like that he is back and ready to go. And people, one time he was the number one player in the state of Mississippi when he was committed to LSU. Well, ultimately goes to Miami, but finds his way back home. Out of Holmes County Central, the high school has been really good to Mississippi State. 6 foot, 180 pounds is what he's listed. I think that might be pushing it a little bit. Kind of slim frame guy, but again, an incredible athlete, especially now that he's healthy. Expect him to get some playing time as well. Montre Miller transfers in from West Virginia, and as Jeff Levy told us over the weekend, he's kind of working through some things. 5'11", 190 pounds. And State kind of identified three corners out of the portal they really wanted, or I guess maybe four, because you get Diego. But Montre got that last corner spot, and basically there were like three schools competing for all three of those guys. State ends up with Montre Miller. Should be a depth guy for us, but a transfer guy that's a senior, has played a lot of football, a native of Blytheville, South Carolina. So, yeah, you'll see him out there. Where's number 20? I think you'd be pretty happy what you see, but I don't think that he is a starter in the beginning. Elijah Cannon, my hope is that we can redshirt him this year. Another long, lengthy, fast corner. Freshman out of Coconut Creek, Florida. Signed as part of the 2024 class, kind of a late addition. A Corey Bell disciple. He was committed to FAU. And then Corey Bell gets a job here, and he convinces Elijah to come with him. It was a late addition to the class, but I really like what we've seen on film from him. Really excited about him. And so I think the corners room is actually in really good shape from an athleticism standpoint. Now, that said, we don't have a ton of experience on the returning roster, which is what kind of necessitated us going into the portal and adding Miller and Brumfield. So, you know, we'll see how things those guys go. I suspect they're probably second on the depth chart. That's what I expect today, especially with those guys kind of battling back from some injuries. But, yeah, I do think both of those guys play pretty extensively for Mississippi State in a rotation. Let's look at our safeties a little bit here. Good group. And that was one of the concerns last year, which is one of the things that kind of necessitated Isaac Smith playing as a freshman. He played a considerable amount because we needed him, but also, too, Isaac Smith is a potential NFL guy. He's that talented. Made some plays for us last year. People forget he missed the spring last year, so he didn't play with the benefit of a spring under his belt. And just kind of got out there and made it happen. Top defensive player in his class in the state of Mississippi when he came out of Itawamba Agricultural High School. I have been an Isaac Smith fan from the beginning. A lot of people told me when he was a recruit he's going to end up at Ole Miss, but I remember talking to him that summer, and it was pretty clear that he and Ole Miss were going in different directions. I know some people on the Ole Miss side, so they didn't have a favorable evaluation of him. I think that's probably horse hockey. But, yeah, I like Isaac Smith. I expect him to start. I expect him to be a difference maker for us. And this is a guy, too, like in high school, if you watch his film, he absolutely crushes people, especially when he gets downhill on them. I love this kid's game. I think got to give him some time, let him get some game reps. Brylon Lanier, I had a chance to speak with the defense coordinator, Keevy, down at East Mississippi. And he says he thinks Brylon Lanier is a third-round draft pick right now. Now, this is a young man, too, that prepped at Paul Bryant High School there in Tuscaloosa, went to Alabama, found his way to East Mississippi Community College. And one of the things the coaching staff said at East Mississippi that I really liked is that he approached every meeting like a pro. Showed up with a notebook, paid attention, asked questions, made sure he understood. And I expect Brylon Lanier to start. I think Brylon Lanier is a guy, too, that could be a difference maker here. He's another guy, 6'1", 190 pounds. And you put him out there in the nickel or put him on the dime package, he is a guy that you probably don't want to see him line up over you if you're a wide receiver. like his physicality, like his ability to track a football, I think he is going to be a very good addition to this team. Corey Ellington is back, a senior. You know, Corey went into the portal and then quickly withdrew. He's back. Been a little bit banged up. Not exactly sure how much he'll play against Eastern Kentucky. We'll see what happens over the course of the next couple of weeks. But, again, a guy that needed football. We signed him, and he's coming here and played a lot of snaps. You know, there were some times that he kind of got a little bit lost out there, but I think in this new scheme, he's done pretty well based on source reports when he's been healthy. Need him to be healthy. 6'3", 200 pounds. A guy that, you know, wasn't expected to play as a freshman, and then he did. Tyler Woodard, former Mississippi State commitment. We ultimately didn't sign him. He ends up going to East Mississippi. Worked some at corner. That really wasn't his game. Had to do it for a team need. Moved back to his natural position of safety. Very, very talented guy. Had a chance to see him at a 7-on-7 tournament the spring of his junior year. And said then, this is the best defensive player here. Now he's a Bulldog, 6'2", 200 pounds. Probably a second teamer. But is a guy, too, that will hit you. He will change your oil for you. Out of Freedom Prep Academy out of Memphis, Tennessee. Has a couple years to play. So we'll see how well he acclimates to life and times in the SEC. Now, Kobe Albert was a guy who was highly recruited out of Fairfield, Alabama. Went to Kentucky, transferred to Mississippi State, and then early in camp last year tore the ACL. He's still working back a bit. And so to expect him to kind of jump in there and start this year is probably asking a lot. In the middle of the year, maybe a different story. Maybe. We'll see how things progress. But when he has been mentioned, and he has been asked about extensively, he's been mentioned as a guy that's basically in the rotation. And they're going to need him, for sure. Jordan Morant, another former four-star, has been primarily a special teams guy. He has played at times at safety, later in ball games, a little bit in the rotation. 6 foot, 210 pounds, has earned a couple letters, a native of Parsippany, New Jersey. You know, we'll see how things go with him. But again, primarily a special teams guy, probably a depth piece. And I say that as favorably as I can. I just think there are some guys with a little higher ceiling ahead of him on the depth chart. That's not to say that he won't play. And he was a guy, too, that really kind of unfair to him. There were some people last year kind of reporting that he was running first team safety. And those things just weren't true. And then we get deeper in the season and people are like, hey, whatever happened to this guy? Well, it's because of the fact there was a false narrative painted and a lot of people went for it. But, yeah, I think he's a depth piece, special teams guy. We'll see how things go. Love for him to take a step forward. Now, Cyrus Reyes, another guy we expect to redshirt this year. Late signing out of Katy, Texas. You look at his film, though. Very intriguing, 6'1", 200-pound guy. You know, made the flip late on signing day, I guess it was. But a late addition to the class. And a guy, too, from Taylor High School. Done some big things out there. Now, Hunter Washington's a guy that's been here for a long time. It feels like he's only a junior. Another guy from Katy, Texas, by way of Florida State. I think he's a guy, too, when you look at he and Brylon Lanier, probably going to play a lot of the same positions. You know, I think ultimately those guys probably are 1-2. And I think Lanier probably gets a leg up here. And Hunter's a guy, too, that's played some at corner. Is a guy that's also played kind of some dog safety. And so he has some versatility. I like him better as a safety. I think he's a guy, too, that's not scared to go up there and walk up in the box and lay a hat on somebody. And you need some guys like that. And so I feel good about where we are with him. And I think the pieces, really, when you kind of run through all this stuff, the pieces of this team are really good. It's just a matter of kind of getting them together. Chris Keys, of course, is back with us, but out of Collins High School, transfer in from Indiana. Had a big play in the Arizona game. I don't know if we win that Arizona game without Chris Keys. Kind of laid it out for you. Jatavius Johnson's a redshirt freshman. We expect him to redshirt. But, again, a lot of raw athleticism. And there's, unlike the safety in the corners room, there is some experience. There is some guys here that have played a lot of football above the high school level. It's going to be important to kind of keep these guys healthy. That's one of the most important things for Mississippi State this year. You got to stay healthy. Got to stay healthy because there's not a lot of experience depth behind a lot of these first-teamers. And so I have heard some things from source reports, from people that actually watch practice, and not just people that claim they do and talk about it on the internet. And they say the secondary has actually kind of come together a little bit. Even though you've had some guys that have been banged up, the group itself has been good. And they've kind of held their own, even against our first-team receiver group. And you know what we have at receiver. And so we'll see how things kind of progress. Nice little video the other day of Isaac Smith taking a football away from receiver and scoring a touchdown. You know, I think Isaac Smith may prove to be kind of the captain of the back half of this defense. We talk about Stone Blanton being the guy calling the checks in the middle, but I think it'll be Isaac Smith in many respects, kind of getting people lined up. But it helps having some mature guys, and I love the D1 bounce backs, right? Love those guys because they know what it means to be, you know, in a major college football program. So that's our positional preview today. We'll be back on Wednesday, and we'll flip over and talk some more about some offensive football. But we've talked extensively about defense, and then we'll get through our offensive positional previews in time for game day. How about that? It's going to work out pretty well for us. But hey, if you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com, and you can pre-order the brand-new book, The Dude. All the files have been submitted. Everything is at the printer. We're just kind of waiting for a delivery date now. And once the books are delivered, whatever's going on, I will go down and sign them, and then they'll get them in the mail to you right after that. And if you hadn't pre-ordered yet, now's a good time to do it. All of my sports books are there. So if you need Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, or Dog Pile, and everybody does, you can kind of bunch those together. Probably a smart move. But I look forward to you guys having that. And if you hadn't floated yet, you need to. We've got a lot of Boneyard listeners that are taking advantage of our discount program because I know they're going to come regularly. And that's the thing. If you come first, you get the introductory rate. If you join the discount program, the rate stays the same. And if you get an advanced discount program or an unlimited package, the price per float goes down depending on how many floats you want per month. And there's no commitment. You can cancel anytime. It's a great time to kind of take care of yourself. And listen, as I've said on Gene's page, I wanted to give those folks a little bit of a lead time. We're already seeing some out-of-towners book for football weekends. And so if you are considering, hey, while we're in town, I may want to float. You know, and even if you don't know what time game day is, you know what Friday night looks like. You know what Sunday looks like. I would advise you to go ahead and book. And you can download the TrueRest app. And you can book online, or you can call 662-268-7601. Speak to the lovely wife, and she'll answer all your questions, and she can get you scheduled that way too. But you don't have to wait for football season to get here, even though it's just a couple weeks away. If you're in the area, and we have some people that travel as far away as Memphis and Jackson regularly to come float because they have found some relief in floating. And I have too. It's been probably the most important thing that I've done to handle my own level of anxiety, because I can gas myself up pretty quick, but I float regularly. You probably have noticed I don't get quite as animated at times on the show, and it's a byproduct of floating. And I really think, honestly, it helped my writing ability with writing that book, because I floated regularly during the research portion of the book. I had a lot more patience with myself, but come be a part of that. And listen, we're doing great, and business has really picked up here as of late. We had a really great spring, and then, of course, everybody leaves town in June, but as people start coming back in July, things have been great, and now, you know, we're starting to see the schedule really fill up in the month of August. And so availability just about every day, but a lot more limited now that everybody's back in town. Faculty's back, students are back, student-athletes are back, those who didn't leave for the summer. And so you need to kind of plan ahead. And so it's been a great experience. We've been open a little over 6 months now. And every day it gets a little bit better. It does. I hope your life is good. I hope those that you love you back. And we'll be back together on Wednesday. I will do my best to get the show recorded earlier in the day. And it's so difficult when we got so much going on in the mornings. And today was a travel day for me. I beg your forgiveness. I love each and every one of you. And until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.